Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
This is Love Sport.
Welcome to the Fulham Fan Show. You're listening to us on Love Sport Radio. I've been joined by the Fulhamish podcast. Me, Charlie Hawkins, Don Betts, Guy Barlow and Jack Kelly in the studio. And it is, of course, the Fulham Fan Show. The Blackburn review this weekend. 3 points in the bag. They got their 3 points after that disappointing opening day defeat to Barnsley at Oakwell. We're going to be talking a little bit about how the transfer window closed. Of course, a Huddersfield preview. We're going to be talking to Neil Wayne and he takes his chance. The game is 2 days away Friday night. The games come thick and fast in the Championship. And of course, the Instagram questions and listener questions, which I'm looking forward to at the end of the show. You never know what you're going to get with them. I'm looking forward to them. We have to start then, of course, with the Blackburn game review. And Dom, it's time for the three word reviews.
It is indeed. I thought we'd start with one of the pod's favourites in Richard Bamba, Man Like Soul, with Happily Ever Arter, after obviously Harry Arter's great performance on the weekend. We have Luke Jennings with Thanks Scott's Sister, because obviously he's... is he married to Scott's sister, I think?
Yeah, brother-in-law Harry Arter.
Yeah, brother-in-law Harry Arter. Arter This World from Sophie Johnson. A Complete Arter Joy by Nick O'Malley. Ream the Dream from Stephen Sheldrake. Blackburn Baby Burn from Jack and Loz. And Roving Past Rovers from Nate Wallace.
And what was your three-word review?
Missed the goal.
That was mine! Don missed it! Guy, did you have a three-word review?
No questions asked. Three points.
Oh,
easy.
I like it. Jack?
Yeah, job done, really.
Job done, really. Well, it was job done, and it was 3 points. Now, let's talk about the game, because, you know, you were back at home. You did get those 3 points. We spoke last week about the disappointing opening day defeat to Barnsley, but Fulham, they're up and running now. Although, I did speak to Dom in the week, and he said he wasn't that pleased. He thought Fulham played well, but maybe if they come up against a better side, they may maybe get found out. Is that a little bit fair, Dom?
Yeah, I thought in the first half, I'm not saying we were poor, but we weren't exactly at our best. I think we were lucky. We were playing a very poor Blackburn side. I didn't think they really offered much apart from when Bradley Datt got on the ball. You know, in the first half, I feel like we were relying on Anthony Knockhart to just do something, if that makes sense.
Tony Knockers.
So the ball came into Tony, right?
Guy, you missed that last week.
Oh,
Tony
really?
Knockers is a thing. It's going viral. Yeah. It's nearly as big as Fabry.
But we were giving him the ball and just hoping he would create something out of nothing. I felt, and he was doing that, but I thought, you know, until the goal, I thought Kearney was very quiet in the game. I couldn't quite work out what Johansson was doing in that midfield, but you know, Harry Arter showed why he was good. Ream looked very solid at the back, but I think it really did help us that Blackburn weren't really offering anything. You know, that Sam Gallagher up top, I thought was awful. I didn't think he offered. Did he even win a header?
I didn't feel like he was really paying attention.
Yeah, I didn't feel like he did. So yeah, no, it wasn't the best performance, but it's more important just to get 3 points. And it sort of felt weird to sort of just get that, your normal routine home win you get against these sort of teams. It felt weird to have one of them because we haven't had one of them in so long now. What was it? Our last home win was against Cardiff, obviously, yeah. But before that Brighton, mate, or Everton, and before Scott Barr came in, obviously, it was Brighton under Ranieri. So yeah, it felt weird just to have a meaningful routine home win, which is... It was an odd feeling, but yeah, it was good.
Well, it might have been an odd feeling, but it was a good one nonetheless. Jack, I think you might have mentioned last week you didn't want to have to start chasing for the points, you know, if you didn't get a result this Saturday, but you did. I know it's early days. We've only played two games, but can Fulham really kick on now? Because there is still four more to come in August. Can this sort of be used as a springboard?
Yeah, I think we've got a bit of momentum from Saturday. We're going into a Friday night game against Huddersfield, which is not going to be easy. Although
The game last year.
Yeah, we were terrible.
Wasn't it easy to watch?
It was probably, I thought I'm going to take up basketball. I watched it. It was, me and Dom were talking about it earlier. It was 2-1-0s, weren't it? You beat each other 1-0 last season. But that Friday night, was it Monday night game?
Monday night game.
Guy, I've tried to erase it from my memory, that's why.
Yeah,
it was atrocious.
Yeah, I had a nightmare journey back as well.
Because all three of us went, I think.
Yeah.
I think you came up with me, Guy, and you had to get a bus back?
I got like an overnight
from
bus.
Huddersfield?
Yeah, like an overnight National Express.
Oh, Guy.
Then into work, weren't you, straight away in the morning?
Then straight into work,
That's commitment.
It wasn't worth it, I'll tell you that. Because we're such good memories of Huddersfield, you know, like the 4-1 in the playoff season and the 2-0 as well.
What a day.
We had a pretty good record there. We were saying off air that, like, now that they haven't won a competitive game since February,
They're going to win on Friday, though.
They're going to win on Friday.
And, of course, Fraser Campbell's just signed. He's going to score and probably get a hat-trick.
Yeah, he'll score. He'll score the first one, and then we'll get a goal back, and then they'll obviously win it with another penalty from Callum Grant, because he's had two in two.
I mean, as much as I want Fulham to win the game, I'm kind of hoping that does happen, just because that game last season is still fresh in my mind. And when the fixtures come up, did it for you a little bit as well? Go, oh no, we've got them on a Friday night now, not another weekend game. The same thing, deja vu, guys, going to happen all over again.
Well, no, it's probably a good time to play them, actually. Like, they haven't had a chance to like build any momentum yet. They've drawn one, lost one this season. And like, when you play so badly in the Premier League and, you know, there's a hangover, yeah? Like, losing becomes a habit and you can't switch it around as quickly. You know, we've seen it with Sunderland, you know, Wolves have back-to-back relegations.
Stoke.
Like, that kind of playing badly, it's so hard to switch out of it. And they haven't done that yet. I mean, there's rumours of, like, you know, not enough cohesion in the dressing room, like Jan Sievert.
But there was absolute chaos last night. Apparently, Jan Sievert just didn't turn up for his press conference after they lost to Lincoln.
Yeah. Very strange rumours coming out of Huddersfield at the minute. Why do you think, then, the three of you, that they can't get over this hangover then? Because they have got a little bit of Premiership pedigree. They've come back down to the Championship. They could really struggle this year if they don't snap out of that quickly.
Yeah, I think, as Guy said, it is a problem when teams come down. We experienced it when we came down in 13-14 that... You can't, if you're losing, you're going to continue losing. It's hard to, as Guy said, just switch and make yourself a good attacking team again. You look, the amount of teams who don't bounce back up from the Premier League is there to be shown. Like, you get teams who either just missed out on the playoffs or lost in the playoff semi-finals from the season before, or even, you know, promoted teams, you know. You look at the amount of teams who've done back-to-back promotions, or Sheffield United did 3 in 2 seasons. So I think that, yeah, it's going to be hard to get out of that. But, you know, luckily that's why we've got that first win. And going back to the game, you know, We know Kenny scored an absolute screamer, an absolute worldie there.
What a peach. I could watch that go over
but
and over again.
To be
again.
Fair to him, he I don't think he really did anything in the game up until that point.
No, yeah, didn't need to.
Quiet.
Didn't need to.
But, like, was it a bit of a Johansson, like, scoring a goal to hide an average performance?
I think it was. I think Quest made him the Championship Player of the Week. I was like, are you having me on?
He wasn't even the best player on the pitch.
Yeah, he was probably, what, fourth or fifth best player on the pitch. I'd say Knockhart, or Tony Knockers, as you like to say.
Thank you.
Played better than him. You had Arthur playing better than him. Tim Ream probably was better than him. Maybe Joe Bryan possibly better than him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a weird one. But, yeah, it's a typical Tom Kenny goal, what we've seen in the Championship. The amount of times he scored an absolute ping with his left foot in the Championship is just there to be seen, really.
I think that was the furthest, in terms of yards, the shot he's had.
Was it further than the 1-0 at Newcastle?
Oh.
It was about the same. I haven't seen one from that many yards out.
With Newcastle, it's hard to tell because you're like, it was so high up and you're looking like down.
I didn't care. I think that one against Newcastle was just outside the box, but this was a fair way out. It was a very good hit, but the wind obviously did help.
Well, you did get the 3 points on Saturday, but how good is it? Because if you do want to get yourself promoted, I'm not sure if Dom does, but if you do want to do anything in the Championship this year, you do want to reach the playoffs, you're going to need wins. How important is it then that it's a great thing that you three can now debate and go, he played well, because you're going to need the whole core and spine of the team to play well. We could all come up with a name that would be different. How key is that to the season?
Yeah, I think it is key, and there's a bit more fluidity to our play, I thought, on the weekend. As we mentioned on the show last week, I thought we were really static away at Barnsley, but I thought, you know, on the weekend, with the balls flowing through the midfield a lot quicker. Probably helped in the second half. We didn't have a midfield. We decided to play 4-1-5 pretty much with Mitrovic, Bobby Reid, Tony Knockers, Caviero and Kearney all going forward with Arsa sort of just sitting there. But yeah, there was a lot more fluidity to our play. Defence looks a lot more solid. I think the inclusion of Tim Ream really did help that. I thought Odoi and Brian did a decent job out wide. So yeah, I think we just seemed to be a lot more fluent, and it was great to see. This is the sort of team you'd imagine we'd be our main team week in, week out, whether you play McDonald or Johansson is then up for debate, really.
It might not be one of the flashiest names, but if we're talking about performances, I know we could look at Mitrovic, Tony Knockers, Harry Arter, but the standout for me was Joe Bryan. I watched the game, you know, I watched the highlights. Really impressed with him. There was a challenge that he won on his own goal line, basically. Done the big clearance over to Mitrovic. Mitrovic went over and missed that. But it was just the effort all round. He set up in a goal. He made an assist. He was all over the pitch. He was bursting with pace. Really impressed with his performance. How key could he be this season?
Well, he has to be because he's pretty much our only left back. So, I mean, Maxime Marchand's probably the only other cover, possibly Dennis Odoi. But yeah, Joe Bryan, we know he's capable of Championship left back. We've seen at Bristol City, he was class for them. So I'm really looking forward to see how Joe Bryan plays. I think he definitely is our best fullback going forward. And I think that he's really enjoying his time, actually, I think, at Fulham now. And especially now Bobby Reid, one of his close close friends who's he's been playing football with since he's about 8 years old has come in. It'll only be good things for him. So, yeah, Joe Bryan, I think, is going to be very key for us, especially making a partnership with Caviero down that left-hand side.
Well, it was a day almost for new signings as well, because Bobby Reid, you just mentioned there, Tony Knockers, he was in the side, but also Harry Arton. That was almost a man in a match like performance. We know he didn't have the best of years last year, but he's come in. He knows Scott Parker. They're familiar with each other, you know, family connections. But he was really the cog who made the side tick over, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah. And I think he's something we've been missing in that midfield. I think he's Johansson with a bit more class maybe about him. I think that Johansson's a bit sporadic and he runs up and down and looks like he's working hard. But when it comes to technical ability, I think Arthur showed, you know, why he's in the team. I think if you look at a goal for Kearney, he's the one who wins the ball back. He turns his man, plays it into Kearney. I know Kearney's picked something out of nothing there, but that's what Arthur was doing all game. And, you know, no one really knew, would he be playing in the 8, would he be playing in the 6? But I think that, yeah, Harry Arthur could end up being, actually, out of all those 5 loan signings, the actual best one we make this season.
Albeit underwhelming,
but albeit what's needed in that midfield.
Sometimes it's always about what's needed. Guy, we are only 2 games in. We might not still know Fulham's best 11, or, you know, we're tinkering with the formation. But was the team on Saturday the team that should be the team going forward? Because we got that up front three of Tony Knockers, Mitrovic and Cavallero. We didn't see it against Barnsley. Obviously, Knockhart was on the bench. Is this the team that could be the one going forward now?
Well, obviously, I think Bobby Reid coming into that is going to be interesting. And we're going to talk about signings, but Onoma, I think Parker really rates Onoma based on some quotes that were quite funny, weren't they? They were like, oh, he's incredible potential, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, Bobby Reid's, I don't know, like, following his career before he's come here, he had that one, like, breakout season with Bristol City when he was moved further forward. But before that, he was always kind of a bit of a, you know, a cam or a winger. So he hasn't actually done it in terms of goals, like get like 3 or 4 20-plus goals in the Championship like someone like, you know, Asamoah Longo has. So it'll be interesting to see what role he plays in the sides. But I think that we are just going to try and like attack our way out the division. Like, I mean, Dom mentioned the team we finished up with on Saturday with like all 4 of them on and Kearney and Arthur just like sitting in. Like, I think, although we defended quite well on Saturday, I think that's not going to be the norm, you know? We're just going to have to attack our way out. And I mean, it means if we score a lot of goals, it's fine with me. But I don't think defence is a priority.
Yeah, it looks
now, like
we're trying to win the league by winning 5-4, not 1-0.
Yeah, basically.
That's not a bad thing, especially for the neutral. We've touched upon the loan signings there then. Last time we spoke, the transfer window was still going on. It has now closed. Next, we're going to be looking at the players you brought in and the ones that went out.
This is Love Sport.
We're not Real Madrid, we are Fulham. This is the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. I've been joined by the Fulhamish podcast, Dom Betts, Guy Barlow and Jack Kelly. We, of course, last time we spoke was last Wednesday. The transfer window was still going on. You did, of course, do some deadline day business. Sessegnon making that move to Tottenham. Well, it was confirmed. It was complete. I for one, apologise. I was quite adamant he was going to stay. I didn't think that deal would get over the line on the final day, but it did. But in the other way, you just mentioned him, Guy, there. You got Josh Onoma. He has signed, coming in the other direction. Let's talk about him first. Let's talk about the players that have arrived. Are you pleased with the bit of business that Fulham done there?
Yeah, Onoma has already spent a bit of time in the Championship. He was highly rated at England youth level as well, which was, you know, which is a good sign, I guess. I think, but Spurs fans were quite happy to get rid of him. Like, I don't think Spurs fans actually rated him that much. Though, you know, the classic, like, I'll drive him there, you know, have him, basically.
Isn't that always the way, though, when they just want to play and then it's like, yeah, we don't care, we're getting Sessegnon, but then, look, he was obviously a good player, he was in Tottenham's academy, and it's one that could come back and bite him, couldn't it?
Well, yeah, I really don't know, but, like, it's an interesting one from us, because it feels like it has been led by Scott Parker from his time when he was only there for a year as an under-18 coach, but I mean, Scott Parker clearly sees something in him, but I'm not overly convinced. And also, I guess a bigger part is that I'm not even sure where he's going to fit in the team. Like, we're just talking about all these attacking options. Like, who is he going to get in head of? And I know you need a big squad for the Championship, but, like, where's he going
to
play?
I think the fact that we signed him on a permanent gives him a chance to maybe not feature as much and then maybe find his place in the team later on in his career. I think for now he's just a squad player like the likes of Serge we had last time in the Championship. But the one that really surprised me, Bobby Reid, obviously we didn't see that coming at all until, you know, the early morning of deadline day. That's for me, the best signing we've made all summer, apart from obviously getting Kenny Mitrovic.
Really? Well, yeah. Jack Kelly, I want to talk to you then, because you say it's the best signing you've made all summer. I was here on deadline day. I said to Dom, Bobby Reid, Fulham are in for Bobby Reid. We could talk about it. Nah, it's not going to happen. We don't want him. It's not going to happen. I've sort of added Dom a little bit there, but he's like, nah, it's never going to happen. Bobby Reid signs for Fulham, plays this weekend. Jack says, brilliant signing.
Yeah, I mean, this guy has championship experience. He's got bags of goals for Bristol City, and then moved to Cardiff and did okay with them.
Scored against us.
Yeah, he did score against us, and he scored against us in the promotion season as well. This guy's got so much talent, and to have him as a second option to a striker is only a good thing. And to come off the bench, he should have scored on Saturday. He's a really good signing.
That miss. I don't know how he actually got it that far wide left. Yeah. Like, he's running through and goal, dings over the goalkeeper, and it went. Like, I assumed it was going to go in.
The game was in the bag. It didn't matter. I did witness that miss as well. But you have made those signings. One of the key signings, we've already dubbed him Tony Knockers. I don't even know how that really started. But
George Coops last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's affectionately known as Anthony Knockup, but everyone knows his real name's Tony Knockers. How important is he going to be this season? He missed a chance on a weekend, and he looked furious at himself that he didn't take it. And that's really what you want. You want players really fighting for the cause when you are already 1-0, 2-0 up.
Yeah, I'm a bit. He's clearly a good player, but I'm a bit skeptical about him. You know, like,
why?
I think he's a passion merchant, isn't he? Like,
passion merchant.
He is. Like, he does like tracks back and like does these huge tackles for the fans and like, you know, waves his arms.
Show.
Yeah, like I'm not sure how genuine he is. I mean, obviously, if he fires us up, I don't care. But as a person, I'm not sure he's actually. My cup of tea, shall we say.
I'm going to be honest, I'm going to try now every show to get in the phrase passion merchant, because I just think it's the best thing I've ever heard. Let's talk a little bit now, Sessegnon, because I know for Fulham fans, it's a saga. Will he, won't he? He's dragged on for quite a bit. He has now gone. You've answered the question probably on numerous shows, numerous podcasts. He has gone. How do you feel about it all?
Because it was weird, because like, the entire summer, everyone was like, oh, yeah, he's going, we're not bothered. Then as soon as the deal gets announced, everyone's in absolute turmoil. It was quite funny. And then the whole montage that the club put out, everyone was like in tears, pretty much, because like, showing him ever since he was like an eight-year-old, going through the academy, scoring the goal in the playoff semi-final, all the goals at Newcastle away when he was 16, shushing 50,000 Geordies. Yeah, it's sad to see him go, but... I'm looking at the team sheet on Saturday, and I'm trying to work out where he would fit in. I feel like we've changed our system now that it wouldn't, not like he wouldn't get in our teams. I think he would at some stage, but it's a weird one. The system we're now playing is now not one that was suited to him, so it makes you think that Scott Parker knew he was going to be going straight away. I think it was just Daniel Levy playing hardball with Tony Khan, and we were sticking with, you're either paying us the money you want in £25 million, or you're not getting him.
I mean, I'm not quite sure how much he'll play for Spurs. I think one more year in a Championship plan week in, week out for Fulham would have done him no harm. It probably would have done him the world of good. I'm not quite sure, if I'm honest, how I feel. I know it's employee speak. Sessegnon signed for Spurs, the Spurs fan show. I spoke to them last Thursday, and then Sessegnon done a few tweets, always wanted to play for Spurs, this is the club for me, kissing the badge, holding the badge for the press photos, and I just thought, I know you've got to say that, you've just been signed. Every player, it's not Sessegnon, it's every player when they sign for a new club, they're a boyhood fan, they wanted to be here.
What's the point of the answer when he joined Brentford, didn't he?
But it's just a little bit like, did you find that disrespectful, or you kind of see that as employee speak?
I know he doesn't mean it, so it's fine.
Right, okay.
Because no one dreams of playing for Spurs.
Classic.
Like, no one. Well,
correct.
He said he was a Liverpool fan as well before. And I don't know, he's still so young. Like, I don't know. You never know how much media training these players have had. And you're exactly right about employee speak, but it definitely is the right move for him. And it's probably the right move for Fulham, obviously, but then the right move for like Fulham fans as well. Like, we're happy. I'm not going to speak for everyone, but I'm happy he's gone to Spurs, because I feel like there is like room for development there, especially under Pochettino, obviously one of the best managers in the world. So obviously, as Fulham fans, we just want to see him be the best. And as an England fan, I want to see him be, you know, even the best or the best of the best.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that he's continuing to develop there.
Yeah, I think a progressive club for a progressive guy. I think I managed to speak to Stephen on Saturday, and he was, you know, made up for him, and I was made up for him, and I think. It's a good move. It's the right move for Ryan Sessegnon.
Well, you have kept his brother. His brother's still there. Can his brother sort of make an impact this year? What are we expecting from him?
I think if any season, if he's going to make his impact, it will be this one. But I just don't know because obviously now we're playing Odoi at right back, which I'd much rather play him there than Saras Christie. But I just can't see Cessignon pushing. I expect him to play in the Southampton Cup game in a couple of weeks' time. But yeah, I think if there is any season for him to push, it would be this season. But I just sort of haven't seen him even sort of make an impact really. I know he played a couple of games in pre-season, but he's been doing that for the last two or three years. So yeah, I think it is time for Stephen Cessignon to step up.
Well, you did make a lot of sign-ins. We've been talking about the ins and the outs. Do you think any of the business you did do after the game from Barnsley was maybe forced upon because of that result? Not forced, but, you know, like maybe it put Fulham into a quicker step into getting it done.
I think Onuma and Arthur would have happened anyway. Mm. But I do think both the Reeds, I don't think that was a long-term sort of analysis or scouting because stuff would have come out. We would have been linked with him at some point, and you know we were linked with like Mo Besic. So I think that these two were, and not like it was like an instant buy like we did in Dunedin last time. I think these are two good signings for our team, but I think they realised how poor our squad depth was, and these two signings were very much needed in the end.
Just a quick update: it is Liverpool 1, Chelsea 1 in the European Super Cup final. Giroud scoring for Chelsea, then Mane equalising for Liverpool. We are talking, of course, to the Fulham fan show here on Lost Sport Radio, the Fulhamish podcast. Guy, you said that this season, potentially the biggest weakness or biggest concern, shall we say, for Fulham is Scott Parker. You know, his managerial inexperience. I've watched Scott Parker closely. Obviously, what he had to say after the Barnsley game, what he had to say after the Blackburn game. He strikes me as someone that always on one level. He's never too animated. He never, you know, his voice never changes tone. There's no light or shade, you know. And that, for me, was a little bit worrying because I hope that's not how he is with his players. He didn't strike any passion. I want him to be a bit more of a passion merchant guy. I want him to just get a bit more fire in me, get that fire in the belly. Because after the game, he's just like, yeah, you know, this is it, we're back. And I just thought, where's the fire, Scott? Where's the passion? And I'm not saying that every manager who has been successful is passionate. And if you're not passionate, you can't be successful. But is that a worry, the way he comes across?
Not really. I mean, it's what he does behind the closed doors that is more important. You know, there are loads of stories about him giving team talks at West Ham, at Spurs and at Fulham. Like, he's clearly...
Because as a player, he was aggressive, weren't he? He was fiery.
Well, I wouldn't say he was fiery, was he? Like, he was just body on the line. Like, I don't remember him getting sent off.
Oh, at the start of his career, he was known for getting sent off a couple of big challenges.
Yeah,
at Charlton.
There's a difference between getting like sent off for like a bad tackle, a missed time, than there is like, you know, Diego Costa like, you know, getting headbutting someone or whatever. Like, he was never like that anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, like, it's one of those ones talking to the media where it might be, you know, if you don't say much, then they can't pin you down for stuff. Mm. I mean, I'd rather him like be like he is than like Warnock, you know, like creating headlines, making it about himself. So yeah, I'm happy with the start he's made.
But is that a worry then? In 2019, managers can't be themselves. They're worrying because they might create a soundbite and they're sort of almost hiding their true selves.
No, I think that's just how Scott is. I think he's calm in front of the media and probably passion merchant to the players.
Passion merchant, a Lee Bowyer type. Well, you did say he was the biggest concern going into the season. Now we've seen a couple more games. How are you feeling? You've obviously got the League Cup coming up, playing Southampton. The draw was made last night. Are you feeling a little bit better after Saturday's showing?
Again, it's so early, but like, in a way, the way the team we finished with on the pitch, as we mentioned a few times now, is a little bit like worrying. Because we finished so many attacking players, like, it didn't really seem necessary. And then like, he made like the classic sub. Who did he bring on? Like Le Marchand, but like 10 minutes to go to shore it up. Mm. That's just like a bit basic, isn't it? You know, like
football manager.
Yeah, like bringing
4-1-5
on
4-1-5 when I'm getting out the goal. As soon as you score a goal, right, bring another defender on.
Exactly. You know, like it doesn't seem like it seems a bit reactive, basically. Mm. And we'll see.
Well, we were talking transfer business. We spoke of the ins and the outs. It's very too early to say, but the January transfer window will obviously surely be quite soonly upon us. Before it is, though, let's just take out what Fulham do in the rest of the season till January. Can you see Fulham doing more business either way?
I think so. I think it will be reactionary, if anything, that they'll see a problem and then react on that. You must assume at the end of the summer transfer window that squad can achieve your goal for that season. So I reckon they'll see how it goes for the next 3 or 4 months. Because they can't bring any more players in on loan. Well, yeah. They can bring players with on loan, but you can only have five in your matchday squad, I think is the rule.
Mm.
So I think it may be up to seven you can have in your team, but you can only have five in the matchday squad. So it depends.
You definitely learnt that from Football Manager.
But Michael Hector was rumoured on deadline day, but apparently the money didn't come through from the session on deal in time to get the deal over the line from Chelsea. So that could be a centre-back we might revisit, because I do think if we need any reinforcements, it will be defensively.
Well, I'd want to sort of change subject quickly, because, you know, now that I know you all a little bit and I'm follow the Fulham home and away and I've listened to Fulhamish podcast, I've been keeping up with your Twitter and I saw that someone made a gif of Mitrovic like being falling into a player. That was absolutely brilliant. Who done that?
That must have been Adam. If his graphics work, it's going to be done by
the person's not even in. You've not even seen it. If you've seen it, it's brilliant. It's just like Mitrovic like completely like diving into a player.
That happened on Saturday. It was so funny.
I was like, you're not actually going to do that, are you? And dive straight into the Blackburn player.
What, classic.
Did he get the ball? Did he not get the ball?
Mate, he scored.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters. Talking of players that are on Instagram, our very own Fulhamish, Don Betts, you are a gif on Instagram. Have you seen this guy?
No, but I've seen he's now a travel writer.
Yeah, I am now a travel writer on Instagram.
Excuse me, for who?
Myself.
For yourself?
Yeah, for myself.
Who are you? Please don't tell me you're giving fellow Fulham fans advice.
No,
say travel writing.
No, I don't give Fulham fans advice. But there is that gif of me of just pony next to my face.
Basically, Dom, visual with this, Dom, arms crossed, and then just the word in graphic, pony.
Mm. Well, I've had loads of texts saying, I've just searched the word Fulham and why has your mug come up?
Well, this is it. Now, I want to use that mug, that pony, for every game gif going forward. We are, of course, talking to Neil Wayne and He Takes His Chance podcast next, the Huddersfield preview, because Fulham play this Friday.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I've been joined by the Fulhamish podcast, Don Betts, Sky Barlow and Jack Kelly. It is, of course, now time for the opposition view. We're delighted to say Neil Wayne has joined us on the line. He is from And He Takes His Chance podcast. Neil, thank you for giving us a bit of your time and joining us tonight. Not the ideal start for Huddersfield in the season so far. 1-1 to QPR, 2-1 loss to Derby, and they lost to Lincoln City last night. How are you feeling ahead of Friday's game?
Evening, fellas. Thanks for having us on. We're not exactly overjoyed, put it that way. It's been a grim start, to say the least.
So what actually happened last night? Obviously, there's loads of rumours about Jan Siewert not turning up for his press conference, rumours that he could be sacked. So what actually happened after you ended up losing that game to Lincoln?
Well, it pretty much played our under-23 side, to be honest, apart from a couple of senior pros in amongst. So that the result, from our point of view, it wasn't unexpected. It was just the manner of it. It was grim, to say the least. Lincoln fully deserved it. Should have probably beat us 3 or 4, to be honest. We had a 19-year-old kid in goal who made 3 blinding saves of keepers in it. So the 1-0 probably flattered us, unfortunately. But the afterwards, there was... Jan Siewert kept the players locked in the dressing room for about an hour, which was a bit odd, to be honest, because we've lost against Derby with first team out. We've drawn at QPR on Saturday, first team, and he chose a night when we've lost to Lincoln with pretty much under-23s playing to start having a go and balling him out, which, strange approach. You know, these are young lads, you know, they needed a game, they're learning the trade. Were it disappointing? Of course it was. Did we play well? Not at all. But it was just a strange time to start, you know, sort of having a rant and then making it very public that you'd had that rant as well. So disappointed. I think he's on borrowed time.
Neil, we mentioned on the show then that Huddersfield could be suffering with a Premier League hangover. You know, disappointed last season, they've started this season poorly. Is that a real thing? Are fans talking about this and could this linger on?
It's one hell of an hangover. I think we've had it since we stayed up away at Chelsea, to be honest.
It was a good night out.
It was. As we had our old chairman, Dean Oyle, on podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he said the bar bill for China Whites that night would have £40,000. I think we've all shared the fumes on that one because it's been, you know, the hangover has lasted. And last season, we were down at Christmas. We all knew we were down at Christmas. It wasn't a surprise. We were all sort of geared up for it. We'd have 2 miracles on trot. We should never have got promoted. That were ridiculous. Staying up, ridiculous again. And then last season, we just, you know, 3 miracles. It just doesn't happen on bounce. We weren't good enough. As simple as that. and it has lingered. And going into this season, Seabert's had job 8 months now, and you're hoping that there's some kind of plan and formation and, you know, tactical awareness, and you're not going in there knowing what's going to happen, other than chances are you're going to lose. So, it's pretty disappointing.
So what were the aims going into season? Obviously, you had a very, very poor season last year, and you say, obviously, you had two fluke seasons by staying up in the Premier League and obviously getting promoted there as well. So what were the aims for, you know, Huddersfield fans going into season? Was it to bounce back up, or was it just to make sure you're competing at the high end of the table?
I think most at Sensible Town fans were just a season of transition. You know, it's going to take time. It's going to be a decent turnover of players. Some of these players are just tired with getting beat every week. The manager needs to find his feet in what is notoriously probably the hardest league in Europe, you know, most competitive league in Europe. And I don't say that lightly, you know, Premier League, we know what that's like. It's top six plus another 14. But the Championship, anybody can beat anybody. You can't predict, although, to be fair, Friday night, get a few quid on if you can find a good price, because I can't sell it else but a resounding away win.
Well, you're saving me questions here, Neil, but I did want to ask you, Huddersfield struggled for goals last season. This season's still very early doors. You have signed Fraser Campbell. What impact can we expect from him this season?
Well, I'll be honest, we're all disappointed already, because we've been told that he's not going to be playing for at least a month until he gets properly match fit and acclimatised. And I don't think we've got that luxury. I mean, we've got Carlin Grant, who has been one hell of a signing. I've got, you know, we got him from Charlton. You'll know him from down there. It costs £1.5 million, which, as it stands at the moment, absolute bargain. I mean, we couldn't score goals last season for anything. We couldn't buy a goal. And he's come into a really, really awful side and scored 4 in 12, which was a phenomenal return, really. And he's carried that on 2 in 2 so far. The lad is a talent, and if he carries on, he won't be with us in January. But to be told that we've got Campbell and he's not going to be involved for at least a month till after international break, really disappointing. Surely he's got 15 minutes in him off at bench, but there's a lot of the wrong things coming out at town at the moment. It's not sounding positive. They've gone from when David Wagner was here, it was all about no limits and, you know, sort of defying the odds and being, you know, the little dog up against all these big clubs and turning them over, and we've sort of surrendered a little bit now, which is it's just disappointing.
Also, you mentioned that you're expecting a resounding away win. Some Fulham fans have got it in their head that actually this is that kind of game which we will mess up in. Because I think it was like you haven't won a competitive game since like February. You signed a striker who's not fit for a month. You lost to Lincoln in the League Cup, and it was like this is the exact kind of game that Fulham would lose. But do you just think Fulham will have too much for Huddersfield on Friday?
I'm in absolutely zero doubt whatsoever that we will finish second on Friday night. There's no two ways about it. We just look a poor side, to be honest. We don't look together at all. Like I say, we've got Carlin Grant, who, if we get anything on Friday night, Carlin Grant will be involved in it. But it just looks so disjointed. You can't really tell, you know, a pattern of play. Like the season when we got promoted, we had a very defined style under David Wagner. Like Fulham had a very defined style as well when he came and murdered us 4-1 season we went up. It's not there. We haven't got, and he says he plays 4-3-3 attacking football. We've scored 2 goals in 3 games, both penalties. I'm sounding ultra negative, but I really, really cannot see anything but an away win. Can't see it.
I know it's obviously early doors for Jan Sievert, but there were reports of him having lost the dressing room last season, let alone this season. And I know he's got that one win in 8 months, whatever it is. I know it's early, but are there people calling for him to go already?
Pretty much everybody.
Really?
If Fulham score early or even just go in front on Friday, we've got a really good reputation for the home crowd being phenomenal over the last few years and really getting behind the side regardless of what's happening in front of us. That won't be the case on Friday. It was getting toxic last night and only 7,000 there. So, you know, there's going to be 20,000 plus there on Friday night, and that it's got the potential to be a very hostile environment. And if Fulham come, I mean, they're going to have done their own work. They know we're struggling. They know we're sort of a bit soft at the moment. And I think if Fulham come and have a go and score, especially early, I think it could be a long night for us and a bloody good one for you, to be honest.
Well, you're predicting a good night for Fulham then, Neil. We know you're saying away win. What's the score prediction?
Yeah. 0-2, 0-3.
Oh, they're happy with that in the studio. Neil, thank you for giving us some time.
No
Neil,
bother.
Neil Wayne there from Annie Takes His Chance podcast on the Huddersfield preview. Of course, he was sold. Fulham are winning that 2-0, 3-0. It's time for your predictions. I'll start with Jack. What do you think Friday night?
Knockhart, Caviedo, 2-0, Fulham.
Tony Knockhart.
Sorry, Tony Knockers.
Yeah. Cavalero. 2-0?
Yeah. I'm quite confident after hearing that.
Oh, he's changed. He's won you over. He's persuaded you, Jack guy.
Surely that's the commentator's curse or whatever. You know, like there's no way we're winning that game now. Home win, 2-0.
It's a tough one because I was like, I thought this game's got Fulham losing 2-1 written all over it. But he seems so not confident in his side's ability to do anything that it makes me feel slightly more confident. But I still think they'll put up a tough fight because I want to bounce back. And although the only thing they've scored is penalties this season with Carlon Grant. So I think we might edge it 2-1. But I do think it'll be a tough game. I think the most important thing for us is if we get that first goal in the first half, if we're going into half-time 1-0 up, I think we'll be fairly confident and we can play a bit more, if I can say the word, free-flowing football in the second half. But I still think it'll be a very tight game because, yes, they're having a great start to the season, but they're still, you know, winning the Premier League last two seasons, so they've still got a very good team.
I'm going for a draw just because I'm still haunted by last year's games. It is a bit weird that the Huddersfield fan is more confident than the Fulham fans in the studio, but there you have it. Next, we're going to be taking the listeners' questions.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I've been joined by the Fulhamish podcast guys, Don Betts, Guy Barlow and Jack Kelly. It is now time for the listeners' questions. And of course, first up is the Instagram questions that the Fulhamish boys asked themselves. They said, who should be in our midfield on Friday? Don, what were the responses?
So we've had quite a few different ones. I'll start with Oscar Bordelli, who thinks it should be Harrison Reed, Tom Kearney and Harry Arter. We've got Arter, Kearney and then Bobby Reed in attacking midfield. A very attacking midfield there with Kearney and Bobby
not just
Reed.
Attacking, very attacking.
Yeah, very attacking midfield. Alani was like, just don't change the team. Justin May repeated, obviously, we had earlier with Arter, TC and Reed. Arter, Kearney and Steph Joe. Kearney, Arter, Johansson. So it looks like quite a lot of people want to get Harrison Reed in the side, which is quite interesting. Because he obviously came on the weekend, was running about quite a bit, had the legs. It's just because if you look at the Barnsley game, Ken McDonald didn't exactly have legs, to put it quite frankly. So maybe they think that's the best deal. So we have Kearney and Arter going forward. I think for me, I would like to see Arter more in the 8 role than in the 6, with Kearney more in the 10 role, and then whoever plays holding midfield, whether that's Harrison Reed or Kevin McDonald. But yeah, maybe because we wait for a moment, I might actually go for a Harrison Reed, Arter, and Tom Kearney.
Interesting, the depth Fulham have there. This is what they need in a championship season. All right, it is time for the listener questions. Guy, you're going to love the second question.
Okay,
I'm already looking forward
I'm ready.
To it. The first question, though, is, and I'll ask all three of you for answers, do you think we will see a 4-4-2 with the addition of Bobby Reed?
I don't know, because I don't think we've got the midfield for a 4-4-2.
Kits, Diamond.
Well, that's not happening. That's not happening, because, no, not, I mean, we're not playing a Diamond again. We need to bring Sean Kavanagh back and play him, you know, left back and centre midfield again. You know, that was class.
Christensen on the left.
Yeah, that's vintage Fulham, that. But I do think a 4-2. I think a 4-2-3-1 is actually the best formation for us, because I think you need the players closer to Mitrovic. So if you have Kearney right in behind, or even Bobby Reed right in behind, and then you have the likes
of... He can feed off it, can't he?
Yeah, Tony Knockers and Caviero. You know, if Bobby Reed could play anywhere, I really think across that that three behind Mitrovic. So I think a 4-2-3-1. I think a 4-4-2. So maybe we might switch to if it's not working against certain teams, but no, I do think a 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1 is still the best option for the players we have.
Yeah, I completely agree. But in that case, like, Bobby Reed might be used as, I don't know, if it feels like he's too good to be a backup for Mitrovic, but he might find himself like coming for the bench a lot more than starting. You know, it's I don't know. Obviously, there are as we know, the games do come quickly, and we'll see. But yeah. I agree with Dom, really. I see us sticking to the 4-3-3.
Okay,
yeah.
Jack?
Yeah, I think 4-4-2 is an emergency formation for us if we stick two up top, get Mitrovic to try and feed the ball in towards Bobby Reed, like like, we almost create a third goal. I don't think that 4-4-2 suits
that was,
us.
That was more of a 4-1-5 at that
point. Yeah, I mean, but in terms of the move that we created, yeah, I think we have more wingers than left mids, right mids. You know, Aite, Cabano, Knockhart, Caballero. So I don't think that would suit us unless it's an emergency.
Okay, Guy, this one is just to you.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm changing it because it doesn't say that, but I want it just to you. What will happen to Fabbri? It's heartbreaking, isn't it, Guy?
Yeah. The transfer window is still open in Europe, isn't it?
It's until the 2nd of September, apart from Italy, which I think is the 17th.
Real Madrid are sniffing.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
The way Courtois is playing, mate. Going to need to get Fabbri in.
The day... If Fabbri is still a Fulham player on the 3rd of September, we riot. Okay. he is an absolute legend.
He deserves Champions League football, doesn't he?
He's played Champions League football.
Dom, show the man some respect.
How many times do I have to
say?
Yeah,
I know. Every week with you. Just put some respect on the name, yeah? Put some respect on the man's name.
He's played 55 times in La Liga.
How many times have you played in La Liga?
56.
No, you haven't. But I was looking at social media just a minute ago. He hasn't tweeted in a while.
That's worrying. He could be on a flight somewhere taking a medical. We don't know.
Don't even say that. We were talking about how Betts didn't do his... Bettinelli, not Don Betts. Didn't do his...
I do class, mate.
Didn't do his travel Instagram. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah. Betts didn't do his Instagram the night before the game. And the Fabbri movement was in full swing on Saturday morning. Mm. Trust me. I searched his name and he actually came up a few dozen times. I'm not even lying. There are people behind him.
The Fabbri movement.
He's a Champions League quality goalkeeper. And for some reason, we want him as third choice. What's that about?
I think Fulham are showing a great level of disservice there.
Of course they are. Scott Parker, this is why I've got these doubts about Scott Parker. How can you not see that we've got a keeper this good? Wasting him. Play him up front.
We don't know what's going to happen. Sorry, also, I've done a disservice to the questions. The first question was from Luke. The second question that Guy answered was from Jack FFC. The third question is, do you think Bobby Reid should replace Cavallero or should we change the formation to fit him in? And that is from Rocco Baldwin.
I think for now he's more of an impact player to come on and change it up a bit because he changes the way we kind of play when he comes on. So I don't think he'll start on Friday night. He did look very impressive when he did come on. He was giving Mitrovic was giving him scraps to feed off. So I think that's something we can offer. But I feel like he's a player to stretch the team's defence late on in the game rather than start from the beginning. I do think Tony Knockers, Caviero, Kearney and Mitrovic should be the front four.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think Caviero is probably one of our trickiest wingers I've seen play for Fulham in a long time. Bobby Reid, albeit great signing, should be an impact for now because Mitrovic is just better than him.
Yeah, you're never going to drop Mitrovic, are you? And now he's up and running, I'm sure he'll bag goals this season.
All right, next question. This time we'll start with you, Jack. Can Kearney dominate now Arta is in the team? And that's from Simon.
Yeah, Arta can protect the back four. I think he's got better legs than McDonald. So Kearney can just pull the strings in midfield.
Yeah, I mean, Arta was probably one of the players, I was going to say this earlier, who's... maybe not good enough for the Premier League, but then probably maybe a little bit too good for the Championship.
I said this on the weekend, someone said there's no such thing. I think he's actually in between the two tiers.
Yeah.
There is such a thing, isn't there?
Yeah, of course.
He's too good for the Championship, but I think I think he can cope in the Premiership, but he's almost gets a little bit fanned out, doesn't he?
Yeah, and you know, in the Premiership, if you play around better players, you lift yourself and...
your game's elevated.
Yeah, and so we might see that with Tammy Abraham this year at Chelsea. Because I still think at heart he's in that zone, really. I'm not sure he's good enough to be starting for a team that finished third, you know, in the top tier of English football. But yeah, we'll see. I'm very happy with Arta business, though. It's quite shrewd business, Kearney.
Yeah, I think Arta will allow Kearney to be playing further forward because we know Kearney best for me is when he's literally right behind Mitrovic and he can create a lot more there. And I think Arta will give him that license, especially if we, let's say we play McDonald or Harrison Reed and have Arta in the middle, then it gives them a lot more defensive stability there than I think Johansson does. So, yes, I do think it will help Kearney have more of an influence on our team this season.
All right, we'll come back round to you, Jack. The next question is, What is our style? I don't understand what Parker is trying to do. That's from Mitchell FFC. Again, it's too early, isn't
it? High risk, high reward play out from the back, where obviously the defence can come into the box and it makes it a little bit more nervy. Yeah, we're kind of trying to implement that kind of Slavisa style, but I wouldn't call it Slavisa style, I call it Scotty P style. It's kind of nervy to watch. It's not great at times, but look, we got the job done on Saturday, albeit, you know, it was kind of touch and go at some points. I've got some nerves, but I think that Ream on the ball was fantastic on Saturday. He's the man to take us forward at centre back, and Mawson's solid. Adoy's a bit flaky, but he did all right. So
the defence keeps Cyrus Christie out of the team.
Yeah, I mean, Cyrus gets a lot of hate, and you know, he's not the greatest player we've ever had at the club. Let's be honest, but
that's definitely right.
But look, I think it's a high risk, high reward kind of style. It's neat. It's quite nice to watch. It's very nice to watch. And I think if we stick at it, we'll be right up there.
Yeah, I'm, as I mentioned before, second only to my advocacy of Fabbri Adoy. What a boy.
Guy's been a backer of Adoy since day.
Yeah. You mentioned him earlier, possibly playing as a backup to Brian at left back. He's so versatile. Like, he can play centre back, right back, left back.
In goal.
He'd take his glasses off if he plays in goal, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would.
What a guy.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think that what's going to be interesting is to see if we do mould into a style with Scott Parker, or it is just going to be full throttle for the rest of the season. And it'd be great for the neutral if it is, and, you know, we seem to be moving for Sky every other week now. So it'll be very interesting to watch for them. But yeah, I think it's not quite we need to be playing the 4-1-5, but it is great to see after, you know, someone as boring as Ranieri having our team just playing full throttle attacking football.
Right, well, we've got three questions. We have to rattle through them a little bit. The final three are, who is our most promising youngster now that Sessegnon has left? And that's from Gustav.
I think it's Matt. I'd say Matt O'Reilly, personally, just because of the amount of suitors he's had. You think of, you know, he's been linked with Real Madrid. He's been linked with Borussia Dortmund, Man United, Spurs, Chelsea. So I think Matt O'Reilly, and I think he's got what it takes to, you know, if we didn't sign all those midfielders, he would have been our backup midfielder. So yeah. I think, yeah, for me, Matt O'Reilly, because after seeing him in a few pre-seasons, I know it's only pre-season, but I think he's definitely one of the most potential there.
Would you like have Matt O'Reilly as the backup instead of McDonald now? You know, do you know what I mean? Like, so if we assume Arteta's going to start with Johansson and Kearney, and then then you've got Harrison Reed as the first backup, and then instead of McDonald, you could have O'Reilly as the third best.
I see O'Reilly more as, you know, playing in the 8 or 10 role, really. I think he's more an attacking, creative midfielder than someone who's going to sit deep. So, yeah, I'd like to see him given the start, but, you know, it's hard because everyone loves McDonald so much. He's an absolute fan's favourite. So, it's hard to see. I'd rather see him in place of Stephen Johansson, I'm being perfectly honest.
Yeah, the two players I'm getting on the back of the shirt this season, Stephen Sess and Marlon Fossey.
There you have it. I like that, Jack. Short, sweet answers. He's getting two names. You pick two. Your second to last question. Is Bettinelli only in the team because he's a Fulham boy? His distribution has been quite poor.
Bring back Fabbri, Mr. Guy Barlow.
Of course, yeah. He's brought up in Spain, you know. They know how to play football there, don't they? So his distribution is absolutely class. I don't know, like, it seems to have deteriorated a bit, his distribution, actually, because that was one of the main reasons why Slav never trusted him, clearly, and trusted Gigi Buton. But I don't know, under Ranieri, it wasn't something that had to, well, obviously Rico, but then he kind of, like, there wasn't as much emphasis put on it when he came into the team in the Premier League, and now there is again. So we'll see, but of course, I mean, I kind of do think that goalkeepers is the only position where if you do drop him, it shows like a uncertainty in the manager.
It shows that you definitely don't rate him.
Yeah, exactly. So
it takes a lot.
It's a sensitive position, really, ain't it? With confidence wise, you have to judge that a bit differently.
Yeah, and you know, like it very rarely works where a goalkeeper gets dropped and then comes back into the team and plays well. You know, I remember the example when Karius first started playing Liverpool, and he was dropped off the Bournemouth game and then came back, like, and we all know how that ended. So I think you've got to stick by Betts, to be honest.
Yeah, a bit. Betts didn't get his chance in the Premier League, really, so I'm happy to see him in goal.
Well, you want him to stay. You're happy to see him go. We didn't get to answer all the questions, but the final question was, what's your favourite lager? I don't think we needed to know Dom's favourite. You're not here next week on the Fulham Fan Show because you are playing Millwall. They'll be back in 2 weeks after Love Sport.
This is Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.